I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Had a little trouble with that last statement. Heard something funny the other day. Said a lady was talking about communication. The lady was had lost her husband, and she ordered a tombstone. And she said, I would like you to put on there, rest in peace on both sides, and if there's room, I'll see you in heaven. And said she waited the proper amount of time, and it came in, and she went out to the gravesite. And on the front side, it said that very same thing. It says, rest in peace on both sides, and if there's room, I'll see you in heaven. I think that's kind of the way we communicate Thanksgiving. With Thanksgiving, we think we're communicating. If somebody, you know, does something good for you, well, it's time to say thank you, isn't it? And so Thanksgiving, I believe, should be, this is the way it should be communicated. It's just an attitude that we remain in. How many knows, and we're going to look at this in just a minute from how a different, a right mindset makes us see things, really a thankful mindset makes us see things as for what they really are. In fact, have you ever, we can see it in little bitty kids even. You know, if we go somewhere and things don't start off right with little ones, you ever notice everything's wrong? You ever notice that? I mean, if you know, there's something they don't like about something wherever you are, and they get this attitude, have you ever noticed, until you give them adjustment? I mean, really, it's just everything's wrong now. Nothing can please you, and it's their attitude is terrible, and they can't see any. And then we grow up, and it doesn't seem to change much, because if we get in an attitude against people or a situation or things that we're going through, and we remain in that attitude, it's like we can't see anything in right light. And how many knows that's the key, I think, to living a peaceful life, is seeing everything in correct light, you know, and for what it is. You know, if you've got an ailment today, and we love to walk and exercise, and my left heel is always bothers me, and I have figured out if I get out of bed, in fact, I just kind of shift my bottom part off the bed, and I stretch my heel out before I ever get out of bed, and I stretch it out, and then I'll stretch it out again a time or two. Helen gave me that piece of information after I suffered for 2 or 3 years. Thank you, you know, for, but she did give it to me, and so. And she had to pay for that information. She gave it to me, so thank you very much. But it helped. I've tried those foot things. And so here's why I'm telling you that. I can do that, and I can be thankful that I can still exercise, or I could gripe about my ailment every day. How many knows it's a choice? It's a choice. And it's the same way with you and I. And so I just choose to stretch it out, and I stretch properly when we get through walking and exercising and do all that, because I love to do that, and it's healthy for us, and it's our debrief time, and we have a good time doing that. And this year, because of the Oklahoma climate, we bought us 2 treadmills, and now we just go in our room, and we can just walk and talk, and she can walk at her pace, and I can walk at mine and talk, and it's just wonderful, except for the heel. I mean, knows there's always that exception. You know, it's that exception that will get us, and it'll change our whole thinking and our whole attitude, and it can run our day if we allow it to, or we can be thankful. I'm not going to turn to all the passages that we looked at last week, but I do want to just kind of do a brief reminder. If you want to go to Matthew 25, you can meet me there. But I want to just read you a couple of scriptures before I get there, and I'm not going to have you turn to these because we covered them last week. But it sets the foundation. And this was Leviticus 22:29, and it says, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." Offer it of your own free will. And it says a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's not just like some of you maybe when the offering basket comes around, if you give an offering, you don't give a sacrificial offering. You just give something that don't hurt you, won't affect you in any way. It won't, you know, some of you still put your dollar in. I'm not getting on to you. I'm just saying it's not sacrificial for you to give a dollar. For most of you, some of you, it might be a sacrifice. How many knows if you got $10 to last a week, a dollar would be a sacrifice? There went your coffee, right? Or something. And so, but he said a sacrifice, when you give a sacrifice of your own free, it should be of your own free will. In other words, it's something that costs you something. And then we talked about Nehemiah. He gave a, and that is, he gave a thanksgiving from his, he made a choice and gave thanksgiving. We get to choose where we're thankful or not. How many knows? That's as basic as it gets, and that's as simple as it gets. You and I have a choice, and we have the ability, or he wouldn't have told us to give a sacrifice of the will. Any time God tells us to do something, how many knows we have the ability to do it, or he wouldn't have told us to do it? So when we give a sacrifice of our own free will, that's a choice. And it goes down to, you know, the can I or won't I? If you won't, it has to do with your choice, doesn't it? Your attitude. If I can't, that's your ability. You don't have the ability to do something. So here we are, and he says, Nehemiah has, remember we told you last week, they had rebuilt the walls, and they had to build it with a spear in one hand and laying mortar and bricks in the other, or rock, and to rebuild the wall. But when they got through, he says this in Nehemiah 12:27. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites and all the places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness. With gladness. And both with thanksgiving and singing with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And so they're having a big celebration of thanksgiving. It was difficult. It was hard. But they're given this sacrificial thanksgiving because now it's done by the grace of God. And so their choice, they made a choice to go ahead and praise the Lord instead of whine and complain and gripe about how hard it was. Isn't that amazing when God helps us to accomplish something, and instead of giving praise and thanksgiving, we'll gripe about how hard it was and how we hope we never have to go through that again, or some sort of mindset. And it distorts our thinking, you know. Thank God that's over. You know, instead of thank you, Lord, for praise, we give you praise for strength to go through. And if I ever have to go through it again, I know I can go through because I've gone through by your grace. And then in Psalm 69, I read from there, 69 and 30, it says, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. In other words, I'll make him large. I'll make him, thanksgiving enlarges who God is. And I think, you know, a while ago when we were giving God praise, we're thanking him for what he's doing for us, and Kisha was leading us and being thankful, and it magnified God and who he was, didn't it? For just a minute, it made him bigger, you know. And then we read the Psalm 100, and I just want to read it quickly, and then we'll get to our verse. But it says, make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. And remember last week I told you there's an action and there's an attitude. Make a joyful noise, action, attitude, unto the Lord, all you lands. So everybody is commanded to do that. Serve, there's the action, the Lord with gladness. Isn't it refreshing when you ask somebody to help you and they do it with a good attitude? You ever ask somebody to help you move or help you do something, they say, all right, I will. Maybe you were the one that said, all right, I will. Big difference, isn't there? And somebody that says, I'll gladly help you. Or, if you ever need help, I've got your back. Or, they say it with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So the coming and the singing. And here's why. It says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. How many knows you are? There used to be a pastor I listened to. His name's Malcolm Smith. And every broadcast he'd say, you are who you are because of the artist who put you together. How many thinks he put too much clay when he made you? That was funny, wasn't it, Jan? They'll get it later. Yeah. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We're his. We're living on his planet. We are created by him. We're he's our shepherd. And he says, and then he goes back into action steps and back into attitude. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Don't you love it when your kids come or grandkids and they're thankful? They come with a grateful heart and attitude. This week we kept Addie all week, our youngest, and about Monday night. This is Monday, and we're going to keep her till yesterday. And boy, she had a stinky attitude, just a stinky attitude. And can you believe that about Addison? Takes after her grandma sometimes or something. I don't know. No. And so finally, I just had it with her, and I just warmed her little hind end up. And I know some of you don't spank. Well, you know, that's okay, but I do. I still give whoopings, we call them, around our house. And so I just gave her a warming, and boy, her attitude was better all week. In fact, we went to dinner that evening, and she said, I want to set my nanny and Papa. She just fell in love with me all over again for giving her a whooping. Isn't that crazy? See, kids want us to help them to think right. The kids want us to help, and however you discipline, they want us to help them to have a better attitude. They really do. You know, some of you think they want to just get on your nerves. They don't. They're just crying out for, give me some boundaries here. Give me some structure. And then, bless her heart, she went in and we were on the treadmill, and Jana, I'd let her walk on mine a little bit while I was doing my weights. And a little while, Jana jumped off hers. She left it running just to go to the restroom and come back. And Addie's over here on my little mat where I work out. She starts running around. I'm saying, no, Addie, no. And she she's already headed and she won't listen. And how many know sometimes hard-headedness can really cost you? And so she jumps up on the middle of that thing and it just slams her down because her feet go out from under her because Jana walks pretty fast-paced. And just slammed her down, and then it slammed her in the back of the wall, and the back of her feet were up over like this. And her face, she's trying to keep her face off the thing, you know, because it's running, and so it burnt her here and on her chin. So I just reached over and slapped the emergency thing, you know, and I said, what did I tell you? And the first thing she said, I thought you said get on there. Distorted thinking. So I just grab her by the hand. I look, and I can't see any visible blood or anything. So I just march her in. I said, sit down there, you know. And so she sits down on the thing. And sure enough, it had scraped her face here and her chin. And so we started putting this for. Next morning, Jana says, you tell the teacher you had a treadmill accident. And I thought, here our kids are going out of town, and what if she had said, my granny said to tell you I had a treadmill accident. Now, that's what really happened. But just the way she put it, you know. And so I go pick her up after school, her teacher's got her by the hand looking at me. What happened to her, she says. Well, her granny said she had a treadmill. I didn't. You don't play with that kind of stuff, do you? I said, what happened to Addison? She said, well, I had a treadmill accident. I said, yes, she did. I said, I was telling her no, and this is the result of disobedience. And so she had a rough night that night. But she was so much more thankful. She was. She was just a joy to be around the rest of the week. She got to go to a movie after school one day. You know, there's just blessings, isn't there, when you're thankful and when you're not, you know, at everything. And it doesn't get any better when we get older. We just sound a little more mature with our grumpiness. But God says, you know, man, it's about serving Him with gladness and making a joyful shout and coming into His courts with praise. And it says, here's why we should in verse 5, for the Lord is good. I mean, knows the Lord is good. He doesn't change with the economy or our aches and pains, or he doesn't change with all that stuff. He's good. Every day, we ought to be able to lift our hands or voices or however you express praise to God. You ought to be able to go into His presence with praise and thanksgiving because you can just know He's good. He's good. We've studied in the book of Revelations where all these people that you see on the news every day and they, you know, molesting and raping and killing and all, you know, He said, there's payday coming. He's got all that under control. We'll let Him take care of that, and we'll just give the praise and the glory to God. And He says, you know what? His mercy is everlasting. I mean, He knows from time to time, you and I just need some mercy. And it's good to know, isn't it, that He said it's everlasting. It don't run out. And it's good in 2011. It'll be good in 2012 and 2020 if the Lord tarries. He's good. and His mercy endures, and His truth endures for all generations. And so we'll have this truth, and it'll be just as viable today, whether our fellow citizens appreciate it or hate it, you know, and call us Bible thumpers and backwards and all that. This is the truth, and it endures to all generations, and it'll work for you and me today and our kids and how to run your life just the way it did when it was written. And so he says, that ought to be enough for us to come and give a sacrifice of praise whenever things are going wrong. Now, I want to show you in Matthew 25, you may think this is strange, but just hang with me because I'm going to show you something here that I think will help us today on being thankful. Matthew 25, verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like. For the kingdom of heaven is like this, is what he's saying. A man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And how many, when it says the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus came from a far place, didn't he, to come to here. And then he came and not only came here, but he gave us his goods, didn't he? He gave us salvation. He gave us gifts. He gave us a measure of faith to operate on. He gave us gifts and talents in our lives, and I know this is monetary talents and all, but it's a good type and shadow of what he's given to us to use. And then it says, and to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each. Now watch this, to each according to his own ability. See, how many knows your Creator knows what you're capable of and what your limits are and what fits you. And so whatever fit you, that's what he gave you. And that's what I'm having to kind of, I feel like that's part of my calling in my latter days right now is to help the church see this. You know, so many small churches that feel insignificant or feel like they're, and even churches I've talked to that run, you know, several hundred people feel the same way, that, you know, oh, we have to grow to the next level. We have to grow perpetually to some number that they've reached. And I'm going to use part of this to help us to look at. And I was talking to one of my neighbors yesterday, and he goes to a big Baptist church there on I-35 and 27th Street. And he said, you know, we're always looking for the next big thing to push us over the next number. And he said, the latest thing we went to, they flew a group up somewhere, and they had a bus ministry. And so we came, brought them home, and, oh, we're going to do a bus ministry. And they tried a bus ministry, and now it's already come to naught. You know, and I don't know what they probably spent on that. But somewhere or another, we're thinking that we have to do more than we have been called to do. A lot of what we have to do, it depends on the talents and the gifts he gave you. In fact, my neighbor says, I says, you know, we're proud of our church and where we are and what we do. I said, we drill wells and build houses and do things in our community. And he said, oh, we let our neighbors go to hell. I said, well, I don't let my neighbors go to hell. And here's something I want to give to you. How many knows Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly? I'm telling you, if you operate on Thanksgiving, you can have abundant life. When we get to operating on lack and what we don't have and how bad the economy is and all this kind of stuff, when we operate in that lack sense of mind, I'm telling you, it distorts our thinking completely. I said, I don't let my neighbors go to hell. I love my neighbors. How many knows that's all he required? He didn't say, save your neighbor, did he? Save your neighbor! What did he say? Love your neighbor. Now, I'm not against evangelism. But how many knows that's the purest form of evangelism is just loving people where they are? Don't you appreciate people who want to be around people that just love you where you are? That just love you and all your faults and flaws and warts and all, they love you right where you are? Don't you love to hang around those kind of people? That's what Jesus modeled for us all the time. When he'd go out in the middle of a crowd, he'd just say, what do you need? He didn't go out preaching to God, oh, you need to get saved. You need to get, you know, John did. But he was a forerunner of what's to come. And Jesus modeled how we're supposed to act. And he just went around loving people. And if he could meet a need, he'd touch them where they were. See? And I think we just need to get a right mind so we can be thankful and we can enjoy where we are. So here's what I want to do. I'm gonna be the master of this. Okay, this is we're gonna play like. Everybody say play like. I'm gonna be the master, and then I'm gonna give some talents away, and you get to keep them. So who would like 5 talents? Anybody like 5 talents? Got one over there too. Okay. Anybody else? I mean, if you want it, just raise your hand. You're not lying. You're just saying I'd like to have 5 talents. Keep your hand up so I can decide where I want to give it here. Okay. All right. 5 talents. All right. I think according to your ability, okay. You should have 5 talents. Now, who says, you know, I don't know about 5 talents, but I could sure use 2 talents. This will buy you a Coke at Sonic. 2 talents. All right. 2 talents. 2 talents? All right. What's your name?
Corbin.
Corbin. Okay, 2 talents. I think you can handle 2 talents. Now, I mean, it's kind of like me, so I'm not real sharp, but I think I can handle 1 talent. And 1 talent, this will buy you a Coke at 7-Eleven, which is the same as Sonic, by the way. And I'm looking over to our nutritionist that told me one time, I don't drink Cokes. You can, how did you say about battery acid off a battery? You can clean battery acid off a battery with Coca-Cola. I thought, just shut up. Don't ruin my Coca-Cola. It just stuck in my brain, you know. 1 talent. All right, I think you can handle 1 talent. Jim, he's pretty simple, but he's steady. He's like me. We're just simple. We got one thing I can preach, and he can greet and help around. And so we do operate on our talent, don't we? That's right. Now, if I give you a talent, I want you to come up here. It's been a long time. It's been a long time, and I want you to come up here if I give you a talent. You're going to help me out a little bit. So let me ask you something. We'll start with all you 5-talent people. If you raise your hand and you say, I like 5 talents. Why did you want 5 talents?
To give it away.
To give it away?
Yeah, I'm going to give it away.
Okay. But I'm coming back, and I expect 10 when I come back. Remember, I'm the master in this scenario, and didn't I explain that?
I'll probably go home and make some scrapbooking items and go sell them and make a profit.
Okay.
Because that's what I do.
That's what she does. That's what she does. Yeah. Yeah. See, now that's she's got a plan, doesn't she? And I think she probably could do that.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she's Miss Scrapbooker, and she brings them back here, and they scrapbook, and they do what they do. And so my question is, if you raise your hand, why did you want 5 talents? And I'm going to be honest, your first thought was, I'm going to give it away, or I'm going to spend, I'm going to do what I want with it, see? And that's where we get in trouble when we think about, I'm going to do with my talents whatever I want to do. Now, he gave them according to their own ability, because he's coming back to receive, isn't he? And so when God gives you 5 talents, he says, I've given you more talents. And I kind of use this in my church growth scenarios that, you know what, if God gave you 5 talents, go build a mega church. But leave us alone that's got 1, because he didn't give us that many. And I don't want a mega church. I like Prayer, Faith, World Outreach. I know almost everybody here, and we can handle this many, and we can still do life and love my granddaughter, and I still have time for her, and I still do the things that I want to do, and so. But if he give you 5 talents, and you know you can't set on 1 talent, you got to use 5 talents if God, because when he comes back, he's going to require that you have 5 talents if that's what he's give you to play on. And he knows because he's given you 5 talents because that's according to your own ability. He knows you better than you know yourself, and he's given you 5, so he expects you to use 5. So Corbin,
give it away.
You're going to give it away, okay? Now, when I come back, though, I'm going to expect $4. So what's going to be your answer if you give that away? He don't know. That's a good answer. See, that's an honest answer, isn't it? Well, let me tell you this, Corbin. I don't know if you know it, but he says it's better to give than to receive. And I think probably if you give that away, like Donna was talking about doing it, see, she's older, she's got 5 talents, so there's more pressure here. But with you and 2 talents, there's not as much pressure. So Corbin probably, if he plants it, and how many knows if you give it away, whatever you sow, that you also reap. And so that might be a good plan for Corbin, huh, and his two talents. About your school, what? You got a school project?
Yeah, science.
Science. Can you sew that in there and maybe make some money? Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, you might could do that. That's the Holy Spirit telling you, you know what? Corbin, the school project, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, Jim, what did you want one? What are you going to do with your one? What did you want one, first of all, just pure and honest?
I want to give it to my wife. She can go buy a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Give her a cat food booth, and she can go to Miss Donna and make some stamping.
Okay. Wow. Well, I think you deserve more than one talent after that. That was pretty good, wasn't it? That's pretty good. Yeah. 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 Now, here's what I want you to get. If you wanted five, did you raise your hand for five or no? Yeah, okay. So, did you raise your hand for five? Okay. I know you did, Jan. Yeah. And here's my point. Corbin raises his hand for five, right? And I give him two. Now, here's what I know. See, if I were really the master, I would know that, Corbin, you can't handle five. You can handle two. And then when I came to you, you weren't really clear about your plan, was you? But when I came to her, she had a plan at first, and I said, oh, no, you got to do a return. And immediately she swapped it out for another plan, didn't she? So, see, she really was probably more capable because of experience and age and where she's at and all, and what she's been our children's minister here, and she leads the scrapbooking also. She's got, I did a good thing here, and when I came to you and asked you about what are you going to do with it, you had one thing in mind, and that was it, see, until the Holy Spirit helped you, right?
And so
now you've got two things, but see, you probably were thinking, man, I'd like to have five, but see how much more comfortable it is now? Because you have two, and there's not as much responsibility, there's not as much stress and pressure to do. And then when you're like me and Jim, and they give you one talent, you just play on that talent and smile and be happy till Jesus comes. And people tell you, you ought to go do this, and say, oh, I haven't been getting talent for that. Thank you, though. You go do that if you want to. I'm going to stay here and preach. People ask you all the time as a leader, you know what you ought to do? And I tell them, oh, yeah, I know what I ought to do. Thank you for asking, though. I know very clearly what I ought to do. Because that's what they do for leaders. They think they won't tell you what you need to do. That's just how it is. But then, and see, Jim didn't raise his hand for five talents. He said, I don't want that responsibility. Oh, one. I can handle one, I think, you know. And so you got to ask yourself, you know, if I don't do and I don't have and I don't excel like this person, why is that? And instead of being disgruntled about it, be happy about it and say, what do you excel in? Here's something I give wherever I'm doing conferences or teaching life coaching or whatever. I'll always give them this. What's life giving to you in your life? What is life giving on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? What is life giving that you do that just brings energy? Life giving, I mean, it stokes your fires and raises your energy level. What is life giving to you? Probably that's connected with your gift mix and your passions and talents and all that kind of stuff because it's easier for you. Kind of like somebody said, oh, I'm just not very intuitive. Well, everybody's intuitive in their own strengths. Everybody is. I don't have a real discerning spirit. If I come up to you and I've offended you and I say, everything okay? And you say, yeah, it's all right. I think, everything's great. You can tell my wife that. She can come up to you, and she's very intuitive in the area of relationships and feelings. And she'll say, is everything all right? And you say, yeah, isn't it? She'll say, what's the matter? But don't expect that from me. I said, when you say it's great, I trust you. You know about you. It's great, right? And I can't tell you the people that I've come back to, and she'll say, you offended us all. I said, no, I didn't. She said, yeah, you did, Jack. And I said, no, I asked them. They're okay. She said, well, they're not. Because that's her gift. I don't have to fret about operating, and I still don't fret over that. If you tell me you're okay, you just better tell me the truth, because if you lie, I don't care. I don't have that discernment. I don't have to worry about that. I mean, it's freeing to just know what your gifts and limitations are and work on those. It's very freeing to do that. Just to say, you know what, I wanted 5 talents and only got one, you know, and to sit there with that attitude of I only got one, you know what, just you'll lose the value of your one talent and the joy and the significance of your one talent if you're always stressing because I didn't get 5. I got one. Okay. Thank you very much for helping me. And you really don't have to, you can keep it and you really don't even have to sow it. You can do whatever you want with it. Because remember, I'm the master in this story. I get to do whatever I want. And then we'll look and see what happens here. Because this is very significant. And I just want you to... My hope today is that when you leave here, you're thankful for where you are. You're thankful for what you have. You're thankful for the what you can contribute wherever you are with your talents. The main thing is to use them. Use whatever you've been given to give back. Because there's always going to be people like my neighbor. My neighbor's a good man, but, you know, and then to have the statement, we're all letting our neighbors go to hell. Well, cheer up, Glenn. Cheer up, you know. That's a way more responsibility than God has given to us. But we're going to hear statements like that, and we'll take them on if we don't know who we are and we don't know what our part is and we're not using what we have. Let's look at the story. He gave each according to his own ability, verse 16. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. That's what Donna was talking about, doing trading for this and to go to this. And I'm sure she could do it. I'm sure she has the ability. And likewise, who had received 2 gained 2 more. And I'm sure Corbin could do the same thing if he, you know, especially with the Holy Spirit's help. And in fact, if he tried and he couldn't do it, I'm sure the Holy Spirit would just give him 2 more dollars. And I think the Holy Spirit's the same way in our life. If we try and we try to do what we can with what we have and we don't measure up, he just gives us and blesses us beyond measure. But we're trying, we're using it. It said, and likewise he had received 2, gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Hiding his talents. And basically people hide their talents and hide what God, the ability God has given them because of the same thing that this guy used. And we'll read it here in just a minute. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts. And how many knows there's going to come a settling day? This is the kingdom of heaven is like this story we're reading. And let me tell you something. If you've been stressed and burdened and mentally just, you know, beat down and stuff, and you don't use what God's give you to be a blessing, I'm telling you, you're still going to have to give an account when he comes. Because he's giving the ability to do better than that. You know, you don't ask your children to do something they're not capable of, right? And God's not asked you to do something that you're not capable of, but he's expecting you and I to play on the strengths and gifts that he's given to us. And when we come back, he comes back, we're given an account. And so he who had received the 5 talents came and bought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, well done. Good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And you notice the master didn't say, oh man, I can't believe you. He said, you were faithful over a few things. Everything God has given to us is small. I don't care if you grow a megachurch like Bill Hybels or a monster megachurch like Cho in Seoul, Korea with 1 million members. It's all small to him. The earth is his footstool, the Bible says. You know, I mean, this is... But he's proud of what we do. It's kind of like when our little... When Addie was helping her with her homework after school, and she would do something, and it was small. It was, you know, she could read, I can run. You know, we'd high five over that, because that's big to her, isn't it? It's small to me, but it's big to her. And she would know her numbers, or she would... You know how to, whatever she achievement, we'd celebrate that. Small to me, and that's the way it is. We think it's big, but everything that God asks us to do that's big to us, it's just, you know, you've been faithful over a few things in his eyes. Now, the reason I bring that out is because you shouldn't stress because you have a father that is not bigger than him. Whatever you're doing, it's not bigger than Jesus. Whatever you're facing, it's not bigger than God. It's just, it's not, you know. Remember last week I told you I've got a scar right here. I go get my stitches out Wednesday. Somebody says, I've had two or three people. Have you heard? Did it come back? Your other, when they cut that little cancer, did it come back? And I said, no, not yet. Two or three people. It's on your mind. Let me tell you something. If things hang on your mind like that, part of your ministry may be intercession, to be an intercessor. Maybe a part of your gifts. Just a thought. But when you things like that hang in your mind, well, pray over it. You know, pray about it. Ask God's blessing over things like that. Verse 22, he also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. Now, here's a guy that's got less than half of what he had the other guy. But listen to the response of his master. Doesn't matter how many talents you got for him. What matters to him, are you using what you got? And he says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You'd think he'd change it up a little bit, wouldn't he? But he didn't, because it's all small stuff to him. But he was proud of them, and they got more. They got his blessings, and they got to enter into his joy and into what he was doing. Remember what Jesus taught us to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, there's something going on in heaven today, and whatever that is in my life, I just pray that for me and for my family and for my church and for my country. Whatever's going on in heaven today that you want to happen here, bring that today. Let me reveal that. Let us be a part of that. See, it's a good way to just say every day that this is not my home. This is my dwelling place for now, but there's something going on in heaven. I had the weirdest dream last night talking about heaven and spiritual experiences. Two of my best friends, we did ministry together for years and just supported each other, and both of them were ministers and pastors. And I dreamed about both of them last night, and they came, and they were, one of them had a project going that he wanted me to help him with. I told my prayer partners this morning, I said, oh, maybe it's this book that I'm working on to help small churches have a right thinking in there. But he was working on something, and I was assigned to help him from thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then the other one was a cousin and just a dear friend. We did music together and wrote songs and all that stuff and did that for a while. And then we just pastored churches in different cities. But great friends, great sounding boards, and did ministry. And when I came to him, I told him, I said, it's like, he said, I was talking about Jana, and he said, "And I said, that's my wife, and he knows her. He's married to her sister, but he said, you're with her." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Who are you with?" And remember, he's in heaven. I said, "Who?" He said, he looked at me. He said, "Well, I'm with God." And he said, "I'm with you." In other words, remember, for the Bible says there's no marriage or giving a marriage in heaven. Remember that. And it came to me last night when I had this dream that in heaven, we're all going to be the bride of Christ, right? We're with God. You know, whenever you get your bride, that she usually take your name, not necessarily today's, but they used to all the time take your name, and you're still responsible for them in God's eyes to protect them and provide, and all that won't change in God's eyes. But you know, that's, when you take their name and you marry, you're with them, aren't you? That's your bride. And that's what we're going to be, the bride of Christ. And it just hit me last night that, you know what, whenever we leave this place, we're going to be with God. He said, enter into the joy of the Lord. You come in and you're going to receive a part of what I am now, who I am and what I have. That's pretty good, isn't it? And he says, I am with the Lord, and I'm with you. What do you mean, who am I with? And I thought, when we get to heaven, whoever we're with, we're going to be totally present with that person and that individual. Where right now, you know, we're talking to somebody and we're thinking about lunch, or I wish you'd hurry up, or, you know, we're going to be totally present because time don't mean anything anymore. We don't have to rush. We don't have to worry about energy because now we're in a new body and a new, you know. And so he says, enter into the joy of your Lord. I think that kind of presence where you're with me and you're a part of me and you know what I'm thinking and all. And so they had a great insight of who their master was, I think, don't you? Can you imagine if your master tells you that? Especially if you're the one with the two talents, and he's just told you the same thing. He told this very talented, this guy he'd give all this talents to and entrusted with many more talents than he trusted with you. He just told you the same thing. And so you're thinking, man, this is a good guy. I have a great master. But it's not so if your thinking's not right. Sometimes we wonder why people do what they do and why they don't serve the Lord. Here's why. It says, verse 24, then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And now watch, this is what he should have started with, because now he's getting to the truth. But his concept of this guy, this master, that just blessed these other two beyond measure, his concept of that same individual is distorted. And here's why. I was afraid. How many knows fear will give you a big distortion of what's really going on? You ever been afraid that you weren't going to be able to pay your bills? You ever been afraid that somebody wasn't going to love you anymore? You ever been afraid that you wasn't going to make it? Cancer's going to get you, or disease. Remember the little thing that they ran last week about, I praise the Lord for sickness and disease. You know, we don't praise the Lord for that. We praise Him for sustaining power. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid, you know, anything that grips you with fear, all of a sudden your thinking changes, that it grips you, and your focus is on fear of what could happen before it even happens, and nothing's happened. But it's happened, hasn't it? Because it's got you. And all of a sudden, your attitude changes, your thinking changes, everything changes, because what if? And he says, I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. And then he's dug it up with, hopefully washed it off, but it doesn't say, but here's what you left me. His Lord answered and said to him, and I always thought this was kind of amazing, that, you know, once we stand before God, how many knows, and we're given an account, there's no excuses. And I always thought it kind of amazing, and it gives a clear picture of this, is when we stand before the Lord, He's not going to try to, and for people that say, oh, I prayed and I asked for mom or my wife or my child to live, and they died, and I just knew you to be a God. It didn't matter if I prayed or not. You know, and we can give all this stuff when we stand before God and why we didn't serve Him and use what He's given us. And I believe He's going to act just like this man. He's not going to try to defend who He is. This man never once said, oh, I'm so sorry. That's not the kind of guy I am. Did he? He never did. It's time for account now. He's given an account. And he says, his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and I gather where I have not scattered seed. You know, the guy is saying that while he's standing there with the seed in his hand. He's got the talent in his hand, and he's standing there saying, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown, while he's trying to hand the seed back. I mean, that's distorted thinking. That is distorted thinking. He just gave you seed. You went and hid the seed in the ground, and I knew you to be a hard man. You reap where you don't even sow seed. Well, he's giving the seed back to the man. That's distorted thinking. The seed itself is bearing witness against the man as he's handing it over back to the master. The seed's crying out, I'm the seed! As he's giving, I'm telling you, God has given you a measure of faith, and He's given everybody in this place a gift, some kind of talent to operate on and to make a significant difference where you are. And it's fulfilling when you work on it, and it's fearful when you're, and it's a burden when you're afraid and you feel like you don't measure up. And sometimes that happens because you've been beat down by parents or peers or whomever it is and told you're not, and you've lost your self-esteem, you've lost your confidence, and lost all these things. But I'm telling you, God can restore all that if you'll just let Him. You don't have to have stinking thinking anymore, because you are fearfully made in the image of God. Read about it. Genesis, he said, you're made in the image of God. And he put value, and he put, just like your physical body, every part has a purpose. you chop your little pinky off and you'll miss it somewhere in your grip. You chop your big toe off and they say it's hard to even have balance to walk, you know. Every part has something good to contribute unless your thinking is wrong. And if you're thinking wrong, everything is out of balance and you won't be thankful. You won't be thankful because everything will be distorted by the way you're thinking. This guy, look at his view of a wonderful master. He said, I knew you to reap where you've not sown, gather where you have not scattered. Verse 27, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers at my coming and I would have received back my own with interest if you had just done something to advance what I gave you. If you had just played something, then did something with what I gave you. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Now, and I think that's bringing things back in balance, don't you? If you got 5 talents, you got to produce more, you know. Where the 2 talent got the same praise as the one with 5 talents, but now he's saying, here's where he's bringing things back into balance. He's the one that got 5 talents. Give it to him. He knows he had to put out more and produce more and give more and be accountable for more. But he was faithful over that. And so he says, give it to him. For everyone who has, more will be given. Here's the power of thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what I have. May I use it today to bring glory and honor to you. And whatever that is, and we're using that, he says, there will be more given. In other words, there will be more patience, more mercy, more grace, more strength, more peace. Whatever more that you need, when we're playing on what we have, he says, there's going to be more given back to you. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad you serve the Lord? He said, we're given and we'll have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How could one man's view of a wonderful master be so distorted? I'm telling you, that's where people's minds and hearts go that don't serve the Lord. They get a distorted view of serving Jesus Christ. A master that wants to bless us and bring us to himself and let us have life more abundantly, when our thinking is distorted because of fear and I'm not good enough and we don't play on what God's given us, everything looks different. We don't see things in proper light. I want to pray over you today. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for every person in this room. Every one of us has been given a gift. Every one of us, Lord, has received faith, a measure of faith from you. Every one of us has something unique to who we are. Whether you've given us 5 talents or 2 or 1, or all you require is that we, you know, take that talent and we give it away. That we put it to good use. That we use it for your glory. Because someday there's going to be a great reckoning. Someday there's going to be an accountability given. And so help us, God, to take the talent or 2 or 5, whatever we have, and use them for your glory. So that when you come back, we'll have proof of our harvest. Whatever that is. Whatever area you've called us to. And I pray, Lord, if there's those in the sound of my voice that they're thinking of who Jesus is, and especially who they are, they're afraid to use what you've given them. They stop pursuing any kind of use of their gifts and talents. God, today I pray that you'll restore what the enemy, what Satan has taken from them. Maybe what they've allowed others to take from them. You know, today they've been touched again and reminded again that they have a gift. And that they need to begin using that for you. I pray, God, for the gift of faith beyond the measure that they have right now would come. And that you would give them the gift of faith to begin using their gifts again. Not just because there's a reckoning day, but because people miss out when they don't use their gift. People don't see the beauty of Jesus Christ and what he offers through different individuals and different people. So today, restore, Lord, what the enemy has taken. Restore their hope and their confidence. Restore today and remind them. And for those that don't have a clue what their gifts are and what talents you've left them with, reveal those to them, Lord. Just help them to stop and think, what do I do on a daily or weekly or monthly basis that others enjoy? And whether it's in the gift of encouragement, of encouraging people, or the gift of writing notes and being thoughtful, or whatever that is. Just show them, Lord. Show them what their gifts are. And then help them to be faithful to operate on those. And God, I know that if they don't know, if you'll just ask, they'll just ask and seek, that they will know. Because you said, my sheep hear my voice, and they'll not hear. So help them just ask until they know, and to begin to operate and use what they have. It'll bring everything else in our thinking back in order. And we can be thankful servants. And our thinking and our heart and our mind will be right to live a glorious and blessed life. In Jesus' name, all the church said, amen.